This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We got hoops, we got great guests, and of course, we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You got us on SiriusXM 371 as well. Number's 844-SAY-ACCN. I am Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. We have the cast of thousands behind the scenes. The smart people are up in Bristol. The dogs are good. And, of course, Clifford, we have no earthly idea where Clifford D. Cat is. But I know where
Clifford,
my partner
Clifford
is
not yet on walkabout.
No, he's
not
still
yet
chilling.
On walkabout.
Still on the couch?
Still chilling.
All right.
Yep.
Watching Georgia Tech still make three
out.
After three after three. Is that what he's doing?
Holy smokes. It was like the old days. I mean, it was kind of fitting Brian Oliver was doing the games because all they were doing were reenacting Kenny Anderson and Dennis Scott, right?
Yeah.
I mean, holy smokes. Georgia Tech comes off the pause. Now, remember yesterday, if you were with us, we said that of all the teams that have come off the pause, the only one that looked like they kind of had it going when they came off pause was Florida State, right? Because they shot nearly 71%. Last week in beating NC State in Tallahassee, and then they got a grinding win against North Carolina, and then they came out Monday night and threw two haymakers and put it on Louisville. Georgia Tech comes out last night and looks like Golden State.
They were great. They were awesome.
Golly.
Now, I kid around with you yesterday that it was kind of an unknown game, right, because Georgia Tech hadn't played in 17 days. Clemson kind of stunk it up against Virginia. And you're kind of wondering, oh, are they going to get back in the flow? Is it going to be more of the same? And I said to you yesterday, hey, if you told me somebody won the game by 20, my answer to you would be, oh, okay, fine. Who won the game, right? Who won the game? I'm watching that last night laughing, going, well, this is kind of exactly what we were talking about. Not sure what you're going to get, but my goodness, Georgia Tech was out of sight. And you look at the numbers, 57% from the field, 61% from three. Good grief. I mean, they were great on assists. They had 21 of those. They created 20 turnovers, 11 steals. And you would have thought Georgia Tech never missed a beat. Like, hey, we've been rocking and rolling. And, oh, by the way, the Jackets have won five in a row. And Moses Wright was great inside. I mean, he got off to a great start. And, I mean, it was just a really terrific effort on both ends of the floor. They caused problems for the Clemson offense, but made everything they looked at. And if you're Georgia Tech, you're like, hey, that's all this talk about Pitt rocking and rolling. How about us? Don't forget about us when you guys do accounting.
Yeah.
And I thought they made a pretty good statement last night.
They did indeed. Moses Wright, by the way, will join us at 9:30. Georgia Tech had Wright, Jordan Usher, and Michael DeVoe provide 64 of their 83 last night. Now, Jordan Usher has been an occasional three-point shooter. And last night, he turned into Klay Thompson.
Sure did.
I'm just saying. I mean, every time you turned around, Jordan Usher was cutting it loose from 20, 22 feet, and it was going right through the basket. I got to tell you, Pac, I was stunned last night. Now, two sides of this story. The Jackets, obviously, an unbelievable night shooting it from behind the line, right? But Clemson now, let me tell you something, Tigers. The last two games, one of the best defensive efficiency ratings in the country has taken a tail kicking, Pack.
No doubt.
My goodness.
There is no doubt. And here's the other thing. Before the game, if you'd have told me, hey, Clemson's going to shoot 52% from the field, 50% from three, 85% from the line, what do you think the game is? I would have told you, well, you know what? Somebody's going to win by 20. They lost by 18. You know, defense matters, and which is weird because Clemson's been really, really good on the defensive side. And it's not like they've loaded up with cupcakes. We've talked about the teams that they were beating: Alabama, Purdue, Maryland, Mississippi State, Florida State, NC State. I mean, they've played some dudes now, and their numbers are out of sight. But since coming back from the pause, they've not been able to play dead in a cowboy movie. I mean, they have just watched teams light them up from beyond the arc, and you give up the amount of points they have in back-to-back games, and oh, by the way, you got a road trip to red-hot Florida State this weekend, you kind of scratch your head and go, what happened? Where'd these guys go? Truly a mystery since they've returned from the pause, because they had been playing great basketball, especially on the defensive end.
And, Pac, it's either one of two things now. Either something happened with the defensive mojo, or they just ran into two buzzsaws. That's the bottom line. I mean, there may be a little middle ground in there somewhere. I still think they're a pretty good defensive team. I think they've got a chance still to have a nice year. But these last two games, either they're outliers for them defensively, or the two teams they've played have just been rock stars shooting the three.
Or both. You know, maybe it's like, I don't know the answer. And I'm sure Brad Brownell, if he knew the answer, you wouldn't have gotten that kind of a defensive performance. But, I mean, tip your hat to Georgia Tech, who was out of sight last night, and Virginia, who was just a rock star, like you said, on Saturday, lighting up the nets at Little John. But Clemson's going to have to figure that thing out, because the team they play next on the road has only won 20 straight ACC games in their building, and the basket looks like the size of the Gulf of Mexico in Tallahassee. So they've got some work to do. You know, the other thing, too, real quick, Wes, and I know we got accounting coming up, which will be really interesting, because it has changed drastically from a week ago, and it's going to. But you take a look at the league right now. Clemson's on a two-game losing streak at Florida State.
Right.
They are looking right down the barrel of a three-game losing streak. Duke and Louisville play this weekend. They've both lost two. Guaranteed somebody is walking out of there with a three-game losing streak. NC State's lost three in a row, and they haven't played, it seems like, in about 2 months. We're talking about some really good basketball teams that are going to be on basically three-game slides here. That, you know, it's January, and I know it's not, you don't hit the panic button, but this is how stuff, you know, when stuff starts to bleed a little bit, you got to stop it. You have to stop it, because this is a different year as far as the number of games you're going to play. Are you an NCAA tournament team? Your position within the league? I mean, all of this now comes into play. But when you start talking about Duke, Louisville, Clemson, NC State, those are four really, really good clubs. And you know what? Three-game losing streaks are all over the joint with those teams right now. So be careful.
Well, and Clemson, here's the other thing. There are 11 teams with 0-3 losses in ACC play, right? So technically you're kind of inside the fence, if you will. It's 0-3, you're still inside the fence. We got 5.5 weeks to go, right, in the regular season, almost six. Yeah. Knock on wood, 5.5-6. So NC State's got three straight losses in conference play, right? You mentioned the three-game losing streak.
Yep, and haven't played.
Carolina's got three losses. Clemson's got three losses. Syracuse got three losses. Well, you don't want to get on the other side of that fence, right? You don't want to go on the other side to where you have to then not only get back inside, but then make up ground once you do. You got to find a way to win. So, yeah, Carolina, NC State on Saturday, huge game. Florida State, Clemson on Saturday, huge game. Duke-Louisville, huge game.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to discount Georgia Tech at Virginia. Huge game. Virginia Tech at Syracuse. Huge game. This is the biggest Saturday. And just kind of looking right now, given kind of the where everybody is in those first 11 teams pack, this is a very, very big Saturday of basketball coming up in the ACC.
Yeah, the first couple games you rattled off, then you got to Georgia Tech and Virginia. And, you know, the Hoos are playing with a ton of offensive confidence. Georgia Tech, who had not seen for 17 days, looked as refreshed and dialed in as any team you'd want to watch last night. I mean, they were really good on both ends. They caused problems on the defensive end with the steals, turning it over, making easy baskets. And, of course, they made every three it seemed like they looked at. All of a sudden, you got two teams. Now, granted, ironically, they both just got done lighting up Clemson like a Christmas tree, but they're playing with confidence. So all of a sudden, that game has a different vibe. Nobody's beaten Virginia yet in conference play. The Hoos are playing with so much swagger right now. It's kind of like, hey, this is the team everybody picked first before the season started. And Georgia Tech, the defender of the glob, is starting to say, hey, again, you guys forgot about us. You know, we've now won five in a row. Yeah, there's a 17-day pause in between. But you know what? Despite the slow start, they've been very, very good since then.
Yeah, no doubt whatsoever. Let's go to the shot chart, by the way, because we've got fun toys to show you. How about the way Georgia Tech shot this thing last night from three-point territory? Most threes since 17 against Clemson. In 2001, by the way, that game was at Little John Coliseum. That was the Will Solomon had 40-some-odd, and Georgia Tech still won. Look at that last night.
Pretty good.
Equal opportunity, wasn't it?
Pretty good. Not a whole lot of X's either. Had a lot more X's on my Powerball ticket than Georgia Tech had last night. I'll tell you that right now. And I had a lot of X's. I'll get to that later on. I'm mad that somebody took my $750 million last night. But beside all that, man, the Jackets were really good. I mean, what else can you say? And, you know, you mentioned DeVoe and Usher and Wright. They can, not only do they have a great night, but, man, shooting the basketball, those three dudes were 13 yep. of 16 by themselves beyond the arc. I mean, they had one. Yep. They had one of those nights where whatever you had for breakfast or lunch or what was there in the Gatorade bottle, man, I'd bring it with me. I'd be doing it every single day until proven otherwise.
All right, we're headed to Chapel Hill, but one little note here to mention: Clemson, 20 turnovers last night.
Yep, get you beat.
Turned into 30 points.
Get you beat every time.
Come on now, that's not who you guys are.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
And 20 turnovers on the road will be a theme for our next game that we're going to talk about, because that happened too. And you go 20 TOs on the road, I can almost guarantee you, you're going to have a long night. You just can't do it.
Wake Forest has played really, really hard for Steve Forbes. In fact, their effort is going to be reflected in my accounting coming up here shortly. I've been impressed by the Deacons and their wherewithal and just the intensity level. Hadn't been perfect, but at the same time, you cannot question the effort the black and gold has given you when they take the floor, okay? They don't have an ACC win to show for it, but I'm telling you now, Deacons are going to get somebody. And it looked for a while last night like it might be the Bold Boys in Bashful Blue, because Wake Forest was taking it to Carolina. Davian Williamson played great. Isaiah Musius turned into Kevin Durant last night from behind the three-point line. And the next thing you know, Wake Forest is rolling, right? Carolina's frustrated. Musius is standing out there in Murphy, North Carolina on the map and launching. And there's Williamson creating on turnovers pack. But guess what? Unfortunately, the same song got sung about the Deacons. For about 30 minutes last night, they were the better team. But the last 10 pack turned into Carolina doing what Carolina does. Knock it down on the block, get after it with the bigs. And I guess the best news for Roy Williams, while Brooks, Baycott, Sharp supplied some firepower inside, Caleb Love takes the night. 20 points for the freshman from St. Louis. And I got to be honest with you, that might be the most encouraging sign for Carolina moving forward, is Love having a big night scoring-wise.
And R.J. Davis comes off the bench for 13. I did not think this game was going to be that close. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I thought North Carolina's size advantage inside, I just didn't think – I thought Wake would play hard. They always do. I really didn't think this game would be close. And so I was stunned at the same time last night. I was stunned watching Georgia Tech make everything they look at, because I didn't think that was going to happen. And I was surprised that Wake Forest was able to push this thing in late into the second half. And it's kind of been a theme with the Deacs. Like, with about 10 minutes to go, 7 minutes to go in a lot of these ACC games, hey, it's tied. You're like, hey, they may pull this thing off. Now, granted, they still have a zero in the win column. That is the bottom line. Have you won? Did you lose? All that stuff. But, I mean, you could see the job that Forbes is doing in Winston-Salem.
Yep.
His kids are buying in. They just don't quite have enough firepower yet to kind of get over the top. But I keep telling you, they're going to get somebody. They are. And there looked like a time last night that North Carolina, like, hey, dude, this didn't look like the same team that was battling Florida State on Saturday. I didn't think North Carolina was particularly sharp, but they win the game. The object's to win, right? The old adage. And I think if you're Roy Williams, you got 1,000 things to talk about, how they can get better. But I do think the Heels are trending in the right direction. I didn't think they were necessarily on top of their game last night, but they found a way to win when it was 53-all with 10 minutes to go. And they closed the deal. Yep. But there's, you know, a guy like Anthony Harris, I was excited to see him play last night, and he really didn't give me a whole lot. So, you know, it's still an ebb and flow with the Heels, but I do think that they are trending in the right direction. I do.
Yeah, Carolina used a 12-0 run to make it a 10-point game.
Right.
Wake led by 2 at the break in a first half that went really back and forth. And on post-game, here's Coach Williams.
We got together in a circle and held hands and sang Kumbaya. That's what we did at halftime. But, you know, Andrew, it's the biggest thing is you shoot 55% in the second half because you get better shots. You know, Caleb took one running, one-hander, leg up, looked like an old man shooting the ball on the left side, and one other bad one. But other than that, most of our shots were very good shots in the second half.
Now you know the secret to being a Hall of Fame coach. Everybody – grab your partner's hand, get a little kumbaya at halftime, And go out there, shoot a little 55% in the second half, and just like that, ta-da, you win. But, you know, just like the Clemson game with Georgia Tech, Tigers 20 turnovers on the road. Wake Forest last night, 20 turnovers. You're not good enough to win games when you turn the ball over with that kind of frequency. Just not.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's that time of the week.
Stones.
During hoop season.
Nice.
That we offend just about everyone. It's called accounting. And we attempt to rank the Atlantic Coast Conference 1 through 15. I will add a Sweet 16 as I always do. And this stuff will eventually be posted on social media. And for any folks that are not currently watching ACC Network or listening to us on SiriusXM Channel 371, people will make comments that these guys don't know what they're talking about because they don't listen and or watch the show. So this is when we basically sabotage ourselves and we put it out there. And you can too. Now listen, before I've always said, you can rip us to shreds. I don't care. But before you do, attempt to rank them yourselves. And then you can rip us to shreds. So with that said, Mr. Durham, I suspect, I don't know what yours is. I can tell you mine is very different than it was a week ago. A lot has changed.
Yes. I'd like to also say that being called everything just short of a child of God in the last 2 weeks has really kind of been the highlight of the month of January.
For whatever ego trip that we're on, we get humbled almost immediately.
Wow.
Attempting accounting.
Okay. Here we go. All right, let's lead off with the new number one. Pack, you surprised I got Virginia number one?
I'm not going to say anything until you're finished.
All right, Florida State has 2, Virginia 3, Pittsburgh is 4. And yes, I know Louisville beat Pittsburgh, but Louisville played Pitt without Justin Champagne and Audis Toney. NC State, haven't seen you. I'm going to keep you at 6.
Wow.
Upon review, hadn't seen you. Carolina 7, part and parcel. You lost to the Wolfpack in Raleigh. I know it was moons ago. Georgia Tech's moved up to 8. A little late 11th hour tinkering there. Clemson 9. Duke is 10. Syracuse beat Miami the other night to take the 11 hole ahead of the Hurricanes. And then it's Notre Dame. And yes, I think Wake Forest, while not winning a conference game, is playing a lot better than Boston College, who right now we're not going to see for a while. We're not sure when we're going to see the Eagles again. So Wake Forest, based on an effort, even though it does not produce a win, is my 14. BC's my 15. And my partner has issues with my run.
Wow. Hey, it's your list. It's your list.
Okay.
There's one that that's why I was scratching my eyes, rubbing my eyes, just to make sure I saw it right. There's one team on that I can't believe you've got them where you've got them. That's just my opinion. Me critiquing you here. NC State 6.
Georgia Tech?
No. NC State
is 6. I haven't seen them, but Pack.
But what? Right, they're on a 3-game. I know. We haven't seen them, and they're on a 3-game losing streak. How? And they're under 500. How are they 6?
I know.
Wow. Did you lose a bet?
I hear you.
Did you lose a bet to Joe Giglio or Brownlow or somebody in Raleigh? No.
No.
You got to deal with Kevin Keats? What are you doing over there?
I think they've got a build. Yes, they haven't played very well, but we got to see them. We got to see what's going on.
So they haven't played well, and we haven't seen them, and you got them 6th. I'm just asking.
We got a stay of execution. We got a stay of execution for the Wolfpack.
Goodness gracious. Is that one of the last second pardons? Is that what happened there? What's
going
on there?
Our difference in NC
State. Wait a minute. You haven't seen my list yet. You haven't seen it. Well, maybe you have.
Go ahead. Just go ahead and run your sheet out there.
All right. My turn.
Go ahead.
Here we go. There is major changes. I don't have NC State 6. I can tell you that much. Virginia 1. Hey, they're unbeaten. We're rocking. Look great. Noles are 2. Hokey, hokey, hokey high. The boys are at number 3. I liked your breakdown of Louisville and Pitt. I was going back and forth on that. Didn't know which one to go with. But, you know, at the end of the day, there is a thing called scoreboard. You know what? It does matter. That's the most important thing. But I could have gone with you and put Pitt 4 and Louisville 5 and be cool with it. Jackets won 5 in a row. They were tremendous last night. I mean, really good. Clemson just dropping like a rock. You might have seen them there at number 7. You won't see them in the AP poll next week. North Carolina's playing better. The Heels are 8. The only reason I got the Tigers in front of the Heels, quite frankly, Clemson's got better wins. Duke is 9. They need some work. NC State, yeah, they're not 6 on my poll. They're 10th. You know why? Because they're a sub-500 in the league. They've lost 3 in a row and haven't played this year. I mean, come on. We got to see them win a game. You can't put them in the 6. I'm in the same boat with you. Syracuse 11, Miami 12, Notre Dame 13. BC's 14 in front of Wake. I do like what Forbes is doing in Winston-Salem. But BC has a win and Wake doesn't. And the Sweet 16 bounced around. I had everything from Kim Mulkey to McDonald bags in Knoxville, but I ended up, just because of what I watched last night, Clemson's 3-point field goal defense is 16th. And by the way, just to put things in perspective, a Tim Beray special, and I give him all the credit on this because he comes up with these crazy stats, and he threw one on me in the middle of the night last night. The most games that Clemson's given up where they've given up 15 or more threes in a game is 2 times in a season, ever. They've gone back-to-back, right? Now, they've given up 31 threes in the last 2 games. The rest of the year, they have given up 58, to put things in perspective. The other 11 games, they've gave up 58 threes. 31 the last 2. So that is why the Tigers supplanted the Knoxville McDonald's bags in the Sweet 16 spot. So there you have it, Mr. Durham.
God.
Critique away.
This is just – no. I mean, Pack, you start looking at these last 2 games, and you just like, wait a second. That can't be the same group that shut Purdue down, you know?
Purdue?
I mean, look
all the teams they shut down. I mean, they've played some really good
clubs. Alabama?
Alabama just made 23 threes on a poor, strong offer Will Wade and LSU the other night. And Clemson beat Bama. You know, Clemson's beaten teams like Mississippi State and Purdue and Maryland and Florida State and the 6-seed NC State. I mean, they've beaten some really good clubs. But, man, they've just gotten lit up like nobody's business here the last 2.
I'll be honest. If the top 5 right now, Louisville and Pittsburgh, and no matter which way you have them, 4 or 5, 5 or 4, doesn't really go. I mean, the top 3 are kind of locked. 4 and 5 are kind of, I don't want to say they're locked, but they're set in there pretty firm. Now, Georgia Tech is going to be interesting. They go to Virginia and win on Saturday.
Watch out.
Watch out now. I mean, we're going to have ourselves a pretty interesting race here. Now, Mark, I was asked about this yesterday on radio in Raleigh with the OG.
Is NC State one of the top 6 teams in the league? Was that one of the questions from
I was not asked that.
They will be next
asked,
time you're on.
Is Duke – going to make the NCAA tournament?
If they win some games, sure, they can get in. But what's their best win? I mean, we're sitting here on January 21st. If I said to a Duke fan, if I Robin the Duke fan, and hopefully he's healing up, if I said to any Duke fan, what is your best win? How do you answer the question?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, seriously, what is the answer to that question on January 21st? What is your best win?
Yeah. It's a fair point.
It's the only point because, you know, you get in the tournament by having quality Ws. And I'm not saying that Duke's not going to have some by the end of the year. You certainly hope so. They've got great talent, Hall of Fame coach. But right now, today, I mean, their body of work isn't great. But I will tell you this much. I like Duke's chances of making the tournament better than I do Kentucky after watching them lose somehow to Georgia. I didn't know Georgia played basketball. How about that? They lost to those dudes last night. I almost thought about putting Kentucky back in their traditional Sweet 16. I mean, they're 0-4 in the ACC. They're 0-4. So, I mean, hey, there's a lot. This is a weird year, right? We already gave that stat from the AP poll this week with Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky out of the top 25 for the first time since December of 1961. It's a goofy year. But I get a sense, at least with North Carolina, they're trending upwards. I get a sense with Duke – you know, they're playing. And Jay Billis, I thought, brought up a great point yesterday. Hey, they went to zone because their man's not good enough. You know, they're giving up too many easy baskets. So, you know, they get Louisville Saturday. It is a really critical game. Somebody's walking out of that place with a 3-game losing streak. Really, really good teams. So, there's a lot of intrigue in this league right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. Going to be interesting. I think now the combination of Hurt and Jalen Johnson gives them an opportunity. But that on-floor chemistry with those guys, that's got to get better. The continuity or lack of continuity could be an important piece that they're lacking. They've got to find a way to make up for that. Be interesting Saturday. Louisville will be playing with their hair on fire. I would suspect Duke would be too.
Should
be a good ball game, by the way, at 4 o'clock.
I'll say one more thing about this. I mean, it's only January 21st, and we haven't reached the finish line, but you got to start heading in the right direction. But anybody that's wanting to put dirt on the North Carolina and Duke NCAA tournament graves, I will warn you. I've seen this act before, right? Oh, man, they're not going anywhere. They can't play. They're not any good. I've heard it my whole life, right, when they have a hiccup. Mm-hmm. Anybody putting dirt on those graves as far as the NCAA tournament, beware. I'm just telling you, it's too early for that. We still have a lot of basketball to be played. A lot of basketball.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Accounting is out. Have at it. Good luck. God bless. That's all I'm going to tell you on that one. All right. We have a topic we're going to get into because
we're going to get blasted anyway. It doesn't matter.
I'm used to it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't hurt anymore.
That's it.
But there are sharp objects in the room, though. I'm going to tell you because people go crazy with that stuff. Yeah. NC State 6. You're going to love that. They're going to love on that one. I'm going to just tell you that right now. But nevertheless, next topic involves Justin Champagne, who has been nothing short of great. And again, gets injured, out 6 to 8 weeks, at least we thought, comes back early, explodes against Syracuse over the weekend as the Panthers put a 64 spot on Jim Boeheim's guys. And then Champagne just puts on a display against Duke, the 31-14-5 number. And a grown man, as you pointed out, Wes, he's only 6'6", and is just terrorizing people inside, making shots outside, great leadership. Mental toughness, physical toughness. He's just been terrific. And, again, we had a chance to interview him earlier this week. But when you look at his numbers and try to do a comparative of, all right, where does this guy rank? Does he remind you of anybody else from an ACC historical perspective of folks that maybe went on to win ACC Player of the Year? Amazingly so, we have found some similarities.
Yeah. I think the one thing, though, is that Pack, he's playing for a team that's not necessarily at the top of the standings. And I said he's on the verge of Player of the Year. Well, he's in the discussion, and he was not in the discussion when the season started, okay? Right. So that's number one. So he's coming from off the radar of all the preseason, and this is a different preseason, I understand, but he's coming from off the radar. Second thing is he's not coming from one of the schools that you projected in the top four, five, maybe even six, depending on what poll you subscribe to. We thought Pittsburgh might be better, but we weren't sure that Pittsburgh would be having the kind of start they've had to the ACC.
Right.
But here's the reality of this. Justin Champagne has put up the kind of numbers that you can win ACC Player of the Year with, and he's been relatively consistent, including missing two games with a knee injury and coming back and going right back to work. He's averaging 20.5 points, 13 rebounds. He's shooting 53% from the floor, and Pitt's in the conference's top five. The last time somebody like that, meeting that kind of category, had that kind of season, was 2007. Boston College was, 2-3 years in the league at the time, and a forward who's still playing, by the way, in the National Basketball Association named Jared Dudley went to work in this league. Averaged 19 points, 8 rebounds, shot 56% from the floor, and BC finished fourth in the ACC at 21-12 and 10-6. Remember, they lost to Duke in that title game in Greensboro that year.
The similarities are almost scary in a respect, all right? Not coming from one of the traditional blue bloods of folks that have won this award in years past, Shades of Blue, Maryland, et cetera, et cetera. And BC was good, but, you know, you didn't sense that they was the best team in the league. Right now you kind of feel the same way with Pitt. Right. Hey, you know what? They're really good. I'm not sure they're the best team in the league, but they're being led by somebody right now that, you know what? Everybody in the country would love to have them on their lineup, right? Everybody in the country would say, man, I'll take Champagne and let's go. And he's doing it on both ends of the floor. That's the thing that's been so great about him. Inside, outside, offense, defense. I mean, he's just been a complete player.
All right, so we're talking about players that maybe their team's not first, second, or third in the league, right? Now, if they're first, second, or third, and their team's going to be a one or a two seed, it's probably pretty easy to kind of move them toward the front of the line, right? Yep. Because you've got only a great individual performance, you've got a really good team. All right, let's go to 2014, because NC State had the player of the year. He was a marvelous offensive player, ends up being a great pro, and still is a pretty good pro, and that's T.J. Warren. And T.J. Warren in 2014 averaged 25 points a game, 7 rebounds a contest, and NC State finished 7th in the league, though, Pac, at 22-14 overall. But he almost doubled the number for player of the year ahead of the next guy, which was, by the way, Jabari Parker of Duke.
Yeah, he again, another dynamic player. All these folks that we're going to throw on you, you'll think back and go, oh, yeah, I remember him. Man, he was really, really talented. And it's no doubt, T.J. Warren was the man from that perspective. But he was on a team that, quite frankly, needed him. No, hey, let's get on his back and go. And, again, like you said, I think your point of, hey, normally your ACC player of the year comes from a first or second or third place team because they're really good, they're really talented, and that happens to be the leader of that respective team. We've got some examples of guys on teams that, quite frankly, were not a factor as far as winning the championship, but had unbelievable, spectacular years.
Yeah. Remember, you get to the conversation always about player of the year, MVP, whatever it is, about, well, is he the best player on the best team? Well, sometimes he's just clearly the best player, right?
Right.
And in the case of 2013, there was no doubt who the best player in the league was in 2013. And that was Eric Green of Virginia Tech, because Eric Green of Virginia Tech averaged 25 points, was either one or two in the country for most of the year in scoring. The Hokies finished last in the ACC, but that guy walked in the gym door and you knew good and well he was getting at least 20, and he might get more.
In fact, no disrespect, that was the reason you watched Virginia Tech, unless you were a Hokie fan and loyal to the program. But if you were an outsider and the Hokies were on TV or you're going to a ball game, the reason you were going was to go see what Eric Green was going to do, because he was going to do something.
Yep.
He was going to score. There were going to be spectacular plays. There was always a potential of a Sports Center highlight coming out of him, and he was going to make something happen one way or the other.
That's exactly right. And the Hokies, by the way, finished the year 13-19, and they were 4-14 in the ACC, and Eric Green got 38 first-place votes ahead of Shane Larkin of Miami, Mason Plumlee of Duke, Joe Harris of Virginia, and Michael Snare of Florida State. I mean, it wasn't like there were, but it was it a great year for the league? Now, see, Pac, that's the other thing in doing some of this reading. Was it a good year? I mean, are we looking at a year that is kind of indifferent? And you say, okay, well, wait a second. The league's not really a prime contender for top seeds. That it's kind of, we already mentioned, 0-3 losses in the league through 11 teams. Is this the ripe time, if you will, for a Justin Champagne to be the player of the year? Is this one of those years like Jared Dudley, like Eric Green, maybe even T.J. Warren, to be the best player in the conference?
I think it is. It's funny you asked that question because yesterday Dan Dockich was my co-host on the afternoon show, and we got into this discussion, and I thought Dan brought up a really interesting point. He said, you know, Pac, sitting where I do and watching the ACC this year, I don't remember a year where the conference didn't have as many pro prospects right now as it does. And I thought it was an interesting observation because – you know, in years past, we've gotten incredibly spoiled as fans of watching ACC hoops over all these years and decades where you go, oh, he's a pro. I think when you take inventory, and if you're being honest, I think if you take inventory of where the conference is from an individual talent standpoint, there's a lot of good players, but the list of potentially great players is probably as short as we've seen in recent memory. So I think that's a valid point. And it's not to be discrediting anybody who's having a great year, like Justin Champagne, who's been fantastic. And again, you saw Jalen Johnson go off in that same game Tuesday night. And we've talked about Scotty and down there at Florida State. And MJ Walker's having a great year. And we go through the list. But in terms of the names.
Jay Huff at Virginia.
Right. But, I mean, this seems to be – you kind of reach a little bit, it seems like, to come off of the hip with 5 to 8 guys. In the past, you just go like bam, 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 rapid fire. So it doesn't mean you don't have really, really good players. But I think you're right. I think the year is right for a guy – to have just a great year and take over ownership of this award. And right now, I would say if you ended the season right now, I think Champagne's your answer to the question today, this second. Don't you? Yeah.
Well, he's getting my vote today. I mean, he's been a difference maker for that basketball team. And, you know, good for him and good for Jeff Capel.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Great guest coming your way. Trey Jones, the Florida State golf coach, will join us. He joined us on radio, so he'll make his debut with us on TV. He was great with us on radio,
that's
so I'm looking forward to it. And they're fresh off a W. I'll take care of business, but that's coming up. Right now, we go to the smart people. Bristol, Connecticut, the place to find them. Voice of victory right there. Josh Macri, proud alum of Syracuse. Streak is at 1. Looking to go to 2 this weekend. Nodding in approval. Josh, you ready to roll?
Oh, born ready, guys. Born ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for What Happens First, presented by Dish.
Love it.
Tuned in to you.
Tuned in to you. I hope that folks enjoyed that commercial last night, which also debuted Dish, getting it done. Love those guys at Dish.
Can't wait to see it again. But let's get to the segment, guys. What happens first? Florida State loses a game at home to an ACC opponent, something that hasn't happened in 20 straight games, or MJ Walker misses a free throw on the road. He has not done that yet this season. He's shooting 83% from the stripe overall this year.
MJ Walker will miss a free throw on the road before Florida State loses a home ACC game.
MJ Walker will miss a free throw on the road. Yes. That is correct. Yep. All right. I go with that.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. I mean, here's who Florida State has the rest of the way at home in terms of ACC opponents.
Ooh.
You sure about that?
Woo-hoo. I am.
Ooh.
I am.
Circle that February 15th date, fellas.
Whoa.
You better circle January 23rd. The way the Tigers are playing defense on the perimeter, Florida State, you know, you better be careful. Better be careful. Guys better start making some shots.
Wait a second. What? What are you talking about?
I'm being facetious. The Tiger defense from beyond the arc has not been stellar.
Not been good.
And Florida State
is
it
good
smoking.
Shooting or is it bad defense?
Both.
Is it good defense? Is it bad defense or good shooting?
As of right now, it would be
that
both.
That should be what happens first.
Based on what I've seen the last two games from Brad Brunell's defensive club on the perimeter, I would say both is the answer to the question. So we'll see.
All right.
All right, next one.
All right,
please.
Mr. Macri, please continue.
All right, guys, as we know, earlier this week, both Duke and North Carolina fell out of the AP Top 25 for the first time since 1982. So what happens first? Both Duke and Carolina get back into the AP Top 25 at the same time. Or a Blue Devil or Tar Heel player wins the ACC Men's Player of the Year Award.
Both go back in the AP Top 25 together.
Yes, I think that's an easy call. I agree with Wes.
You think it's happening this season?
I don't think a Tar Heel or a Blue Devil is going to win Player of the Year. So that eliminates all of that till at least next year, best case scenario. And I do think North Carolina and Duke at some point in time will find themselves in the top 25 in men's basketball before the conclusion of the 21-22 season. That's how I look at that.
So you're not sure they're both, that either or both go back in the top 25 this year?
I don't know if they're going to be in there this year or not. North Carolina's closer to it than Duke. But I tell you what, even if it doesn't happen this year, it will happen next year before we get to the conclusion of the season. So I don't think a Duke or North Carolina player is going to win Player of the Year this year. So that gives me till the 21-22 conclusion for a player of the year for that to happen. And Duke and North Carolina will be in the poll together before that happens, in my opinion.
There you go. Like it.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Wes, just warning you. There are some numbers in this one.
Oh, watch out. Be careful. Watch out.
The question is simple, but I'm going to throw out some stats. The question is, what happens first? UVA scores over 85 points against an ACC team, or the Hoos hold an ACC opponent under 45 points. Now, for some context, Virginia has scored over 80 in each of their last two games, but they haven't scored over 85 against an ACC team in regulation since '08. Meanwhile, they haven't held an ACC opponent under 45 points this year. They did it four times a year ago.
Well, a few years ago, Georgia Tech went to Charlottesville and finished with sub 30 points in a game. I'm going to say that UVA scores over 85 on an ACC team.
You know, for a second, for folks watching us and not listening to us on SiriusXM, for a second, I swear I could literally see the gears moving in his head. I could see him moving in Wes's head. Only 85 to the third power times 2 divided by 6. Yeah. Listen, I think the Hoos, the way they're shooting it, are capable at some point in time, this particular team, of going over 85. I don't think this team defensively is going to stop anybody under 45. So I think the chances of it happening over this season is better than under this season. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Okay. Yeah.
And keep it, I mean, they got to that mark their last game out. They got to 85. Mm-hmm. The question was, can they not only duplicate it, but go over?
I heard you the first time.
Right. No, I got you.
You're a smart guy. You're one of the smart guys up there. We got you. You're not speaking Chinese. We got it. We figured it out.
That's why we always say the smart people are in Bristol.
That's it. So.
All right. Here's a Since Dirt special for you guys.
Since Dirt.
Yeah. What happens first? The Syracuse women's basketball team beats a top-ranked opponent, or the Syracuse men's team wins the ACC. The reason it's pertinent today, Syracuse takes on top-ranked Louisville. They get two chances against the Cards this month or this season, plus they have a game against NC State later in the season.
Women are going to defeat a top-ranked opponent because they can score.
Before the Syracuse men win the ACC.
Yes, sir. The Syracuse men, quite frankly, in the ACC have been a 500 club. So I think that's going to be a while. And you can look up the numbers and it will verify. Other than the first year in the league, Syracuse has basically been a 500 club in the league for the men. The women can score. Q's ladies can flat out score. And I think in this day and age, if you have the ability to score the basket, I think you can win. Now, Louisville's great, right? NC State's really good. I mean, we got the number one, number two ranked teams in the country on the women's side. I think mm-hmm. Syracuse has the upside to pull it off the way they're built right now. But I just don't see the men winning the league anytime soon.
I'm going to go with that as well. I'm going to go with the women upsetting a top-ranked team. I just think that's the percentages are a little – even though they're winless in, 18 tries? Yeah. Is that right,
18, Josh? That's correct. Keep in mind a lot of those were in the Big East days when they were going against UConn.
Yeah, we don't acknowledge the Big East.
There you go.
We don't acknowledge the Big East. No. Sorry.
Don't acknowledge UConn. All right, guys, last one. Last one. Another Since Dirt. What happens first? Leonard Hamilton finally gets over the hump and makes a Final Four? Or Wes Moore gets over the hump and makes a Final Four?
Oh, man.
Ooh,
oh, man.
That's not even
fair.
Oh,
man.
How about they do it the same year? How about that?
That'd be good.
How about that as a ride the fence answer? They do it this year. How about that? That'd be cool. But if I got to pick one, listen, I think the Zags and Baylor are so good. I mean, I think there's only two spots available for the Final Four. So I would tell you that Wes Moore makes a Final Four first. And I still thought Florida State was going to make it last year, the way they were playing.
Exactly right. Couldn't agree with you more. And I will go with Wes Moore on the two because I think Gonzaga and Baylor are going to take two slots. And really, we're only playing for two others when the tournament unfolds in whatever form it does. But, man, NC State question. Women look fantastic, as does Louisville. Yep, good stuff on what happens first. It's presented by Dish. Thanks to our friends at Dish for doing that. We put the wraps on hour one just like that here, right? Trey Jones coming up in moments, the Florida State golf coach, and his team off to a nice win in an ACC event down at Water Sound, Florida, Pack. Nice spot to go in January to put a peg in the ground. We'll talk to him.
I was just glad. Sir? I was just glad the Linksters finally got back on the track, man. It's good to see ACC golf, which has always been great. I mean, great, not good, great. But it's great that the boys are back on the links.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.